My friend, this is Dan Riley beginning again with you, along with Greg Lacamelli. We've been wanting to start again, to enter deeply into the ongoing reflective path we've been sharing on these podcasts. And if you hear a wind blowing outdoors, hopefully it's the spirit. It's a windy winter day and the birds are having their feed, so let us too be nourished. We're moving, as Greg and I have been talking about it, with the richness of our Franciscan sister and brother, Claire and Francis, and the whole tradition that rose up in the experience of Francis and passes over, literally, with the cross exemplified in Claire. I'll return to that a number of times because there's a weaving here. You see, there's another great and almost contemporary. He was for me, though I never met him, Thomas Merton, who is grounded in the same rich sense of Christ, a sense of the Creator Christ, the cosmic Christ, the healing Christ. But that didn't come easily for him, and it didn't come easily for Francis or Claire, and nor for us. And so we're on this common journey, this path of learning, and often, very often, first unlearning. Unlearning things that have inhibited us, attitudes or dispositions about ourselves that are unhelpful. We see both in Francis and in Claire and now in Merton a beautiful awakening, a coming to see the world differently. There is in all visible things an invisible fecundity, a dimmed light, a meek namelessness, a hidden wholeness. This mysterious unity and integrity is wisdom, the mother of all, natura naturans. There is in all things an inexhaustible sweetness and purity, a silence that is the fount of action and joy. I am awakened, I'm born again at the voice of this my sister, sent to me from the depths of the divine fecundity. Words from Thomas Merton, a short section from a beautiful passage called Hagia Sophia, the highest wisdom, the very pinnacle, we would say, or some of us might acknowledge the depth and innerness of this coming to see, this waking up to the light and amazingly brilliant activity of God's love, God's fecundity. We've heard here and other places, St. Bonaventure speaks of it in another beautiful image of fountain fullness and other images that come forth from there. He sees Christ as a tree of life, just growing up and becoming fruitful, coming up out of the earth and the richness of creation and the God-givenness of life. So there's all these sort of things that are images and realities, and they cross through, it seems to me. And so Greg and I wanted to open up a little bit of, in a popular way, some of the transitioning, the moving over, the coming into Merton's life, who died in 68 while he was still a monk and a hermit in Asia, longing to be in dialogue with other religious traditions. A friend of his agent and editor later of most of his posthumous works, dear friend of mine, Naomi Burton Stone, made it clear to me numerous times that in the last postcard she received, as she said, from Tom, which is actually the name he was baptized in, she said Tom said he would always be a follower of Christ. He would always be a Christian. He would always be a monk of Gethsemane. So you have this felt sense of alwaysness in this world traveler, as it were, in spirituality almost more than in distance or geography. Well, where does this come from? Well, you know I'm enjoying quadrants if you've been around for some of these podcasts. We've talked about silence, solitude, simplicity, service as quadrants of contemplation. Also, in Naomi Buddha, her own biography, More Than Sentinels, we have with the sentinel the image of one waiting, waking up as Merton does, as Francis did, as Claire did, not in the shadow of Francis, but in the light of Christ, and finding in Francis a pattern and a person and a teacher. But there is, too, this wonderful sentinel practice, watching, waiting, wondering, and then taking on the work of being one who is seeing. Humbly we begin to see. See with the eyes of our hearts, we're told by Bonaventure and First Paul in Ephesians and in other wisdom traditions that invite us to come awake. So a new series of quadrants, awakening, becoming attentive, appreciative, and moving to take action. Awakening, attentive, appreciating, and taking action. It seems to me are quadrants that we see both in Francis and Claire, in Merton, and I would say in any maturing, growing into life in its fullness, a woman or man who are journeyers. And the gift and the wonder of waking up in wisdom, our mother, Natura Naturans, the mother of all nature. And this is this seminal God, this God that is beyond gender naming, who we know often as Father, King, Son, Brother, Sister. Language reaches for it. Our lives flow with it as we come closer and closer and move deeper into the heart of God and the heart of our own passage. In fact, I bet at times in your own prayer life, you're quiet. Words just don't do it, do they? Even our own favorite mantra. And so it wants to take us into quiet. And in a while, I'll invite us to go there too. Claire, if you might remember on an earlier podcast, invites us to place our mind before the mirror of eternity and to place our soul in the brilliance of glory. Place your heart in the figure of the divine substance and transform your whole being into the image of the Godhead itself through contemplation. She continues, so that you too may feel what his friends feel as they taste the hidden sweetness which God himself has reserved from the beginning for those who love him. Merton, as we begin to take more time with him without leaving other great teachers or wisdom traditions, and certainly not leaving our Franciscan tradition, because Dan Horan and other great writers will let us know that Francis infused himself, as it were, or we'd say Merton began to receive over and over again the rich insights, the intuitional disposition of a Franciscan through Bonaventure and other Franciscan teachers, Scotus notably in Christology. Here is arising then closer to our time, but now in your heart and mine, this desire to become awake, to become attentive, to gaze upon, to have our minds open to the mirror of eternity, and to become appreciative as we hear Merton waking in the morning to all that is around him, waking in the morning of a world, waking in the morning of a day, possibly a dark one, a difficult one, as our world again is in and seems always to be. We are the fools, the sisters and brothers of the light, but not some hidden or esoteric life, not a Gnostic light, but a light known and revealed to each and all and every creature, in fact, shining forth from within us. And as we begin to appreciate this, awakening to it, being attentive to it, you and I begin more and more to take action. We begin to bear our lone light, so to speak, our light given to us in the world. So that, in Claire's words, you too may feel what God's friends feel as they taste the hidden sweetness that God has reserved for all of us from the beginning, for those who love God. And I would say, as we're doing today and each time, seek God. These quadrant formations out from a cross, out from a sun, out from your heart, out from this moment, engage the world. And in a nonlinear way, that's what we're doing. We're feeling this expansiveness of our hearts, our breaths, our lives. We're awakening. We're coming awake. We tend to be somnolences, and in mispronouncing that word, we tend to take naps at times, which is just cool, just fine. But, you know, we see way back one, and Irenaeus points it out, we see even in Adam and Eve, we see Adam notably as Irenaeus goes to waking up in the garden, you know, and God going to look for him. The beautiful thing was, it wasn't all over with. And Christ in coming came not only to save us from our sins, but particularly, most intentionally, to reveal to us again what we're called to wake up to now. That we are not Gerards. We are some of God's inexpressible sweetness, purity, and silence, gifted here before the mirror of eternity. Each of us, figures, as Claire would say, of the divine substance in Christ. In Christ Jesus, who is our light, who shines in our darkness and the darkness of our world. My friends, Greg and I invite you to wander with us and continue to open your heart and wonder as I'll begin to take more time and reflections on Merton. They won't all be historically based. They're going to be soul-heart based in what I understand to be his journey. And I welcome you then to not trouble over your own history, but be present to the mystery, the divine substance. Hagia Sophia, the highest wisdom, speaking as our sister to us now. Be still and know that I am. Be still and know. Be still. From Greg Lacamalli, Dan Riley, and the whole mountain community, may we be at peace. May we be.
Let us break bread together. My face to the rising sun, oh Lord.